Hey everybody. Welcome to the Science of Parenting
Hello.
Live. Yes, we're doing our wrap on season three, talking all about temperament and getting a chance to reflect on all that we've learned. So I'm very excited to dig in and share some ahas and hear your ahas. I'm excited.
I'm a little sad. I know I'm trying to be excited, but I'm a little sad.
Like, I don't want it to be done.
I know. It's all right.
Well, yeah, we'll be okay. We'll be
We'll be
okay.
okay. We'll be okay.
If you've been with us live before, you know we like to kick off by starting with some beliefs and ground rules. So just a few beliefs that we have here at the Science of Parenting. First, we have what we call a pluralistic approach to parenting, which basically just means we think there's more than one way to raise great kids. And if you've been following along, you maybe guess that temperament is a part of why that's the case. Second, we believe that our role is to provide research-based information, and parents are the experts on their families. So you get to decide how this information fits your family. And then finally, we are parenting educators, and so we share that information with you. And we recognize that some parent-child relationships may benefit from some additional support. And so we encourage you to find those professionals locally.
We do. And we have a couple of ground rules, especially since this is live today. One of those is that this is a judgment-free zone. We get enough of that in other places. So this is our judgment-free zone today. There's no blaming or shaming at all.
None.
None. We're going to take a deep breath and support and be kind to each other. And we want you to also know that when you comment, we'd like you to keep your comments focused on the reality that you have. And it's so easy sometimes to, in our head, think, oh gosh, I wish so and so was here. Or, oh, if only so and so would hear you say this. Well, let's focus on our own reality with our own families. And then the third ground rule, one of my favorites, is that we as hosts reserve the right to pass on answering certain personal questions. And we give you that right to pass too. But just let us know if you have questions. We'd love to hear from you today during our live episode. And then we have Mackenzie DeYoung, who has a couple of tricks and tips for you about how to navigate today.
Hello, everyone. I can't believe we are here at the end of the temperament season.
So sad.
I know. Last night I felt like it was like a big event that we were preparing for. And I was like, the end of a season of our podcast. And it felt like,
End of an era.
should I put my prom dress on? I'm not really sure. I don't have it, by the way. But remember, as we are live, you have the opportunity to turn on your closed captioning. That can be done by what we have been calling the little gear dude or those three dots. If you're not seeing it, that might be why you might not just have it turned on. So be sure to do that. And like they said, leave your comments, ask your questions, be nice, follow those ground rules. But we want to hear from you as it's kind of your last chance for at least for the year, if not for quite a while, especially on temperament, to ask those questions, leave those comments, give us that feedback. So that's all I have.
Thank you.
Awesome. So let's roll right into it. And, we always like to say, welcome to the Science of Parenting podcast, where we connect you with research-based information that fits your family. We are going to talk about the realities of being a parent and how research can help guide our parenting decisions. I am Mackenzie Johnson, parent of two littles with their own quirks, and I'm a parenting educator.
And I am Lori Cordles, and I am a parent of three in three different life stages. One is launched, one is in college, and one is in high school. And I'm also a parenting educator. And today we are going to be talking about everything that we've learned when it comes to temperament. But just a quick reminder, if you haven't been following us during the season, don't worry. You don't have to stop right now and go back. You can stick with us throughout this episode and then go back. And I think that what we have found as we've been watching the numbers is you all like to start with episode one during these seasons. But I would encourage you, when it comes to temperament, look through the titles and feel free to pick out those episodes that really resound with you. Maybe it's the go bold because you have a spirited child, or maybe it's the shy and slow to warm up child you want to listen to. Think about those as you look at our temperament season 3 titles. What is temperament? Well, okay, so remember, temperament is that foundation from which we kind of build everything else. It's our behavior. It goes all the way back to the beginning. We started out with temperament way before we even grew into our personality or grew into the teenager or adult we were. That temperament has always been there, even in the nursery. And we layer everything else on top of it. It's our response to what's happening around us.
Yes, that pattern of reaction and behavior. Love that. So we know that temperament's based in lots of research, which we've shared with you throughout the season. Thomas and Chess, Jim Cameron and his colleagues at Kaiser Permanente, right? They've been following thousands of kids' temperament for over 30 years. And what they tell us is there are 9 temperament traits and everybody gets them. The question is, did we get a little or get a lot? So, of course, as always, we have our landing page for temperament. You can go look that up to find some great temperament resources. That's scienceofparenting.org. But for now, we are going to just kind of reflect on what we've heard, what we've learned, what we've heard from you. And yeah, like Mackenzie and Lori said, this is kind of our last chance for some question and answer related to temperament, to do it live anyway. You can always email us at parenting@iastate.edu as well. But for now, let's just hear about what we've learned. Like, let's reflect on that a little bit.
All right. So we started with the 9 temperament traits. Mm-hmm. Remember, can you get them all off the top of your head? No, it took me forever too.
Yeah. I feel like I can say the 3 ones that start with A off the top of my head.
Right.
Activity, so, adaptability, yeah, and approach withdrawal.
You got it. Exactly. Yes. And then we have intensity, sensitivity, distractibility, persistence, rhythmicity or regularity, and mood. So we have all those 9 traits. We gave definitions. We talked about where they fall on the continuum. Again, Mackenzie said, did you get a little or did you get a lot? And so we had these 9 traits. And then we also talked about how these 9 traits fall into 3 patterns. So our patterns, we described them as flexible, that easygoing, or fearful, that shy or slow to warm up. And then last week we heard about the feisty or spirited pattern. So we have these 9 traits, 3 patterns, and we want to know what your ahas have been specifically about those 9 traits or those 3 patterns. So feel free to put that in the chat, and I'm going to ask Mackenzie to start and tell us what were her ahas around those.
So we started, right? We spent 9 episodes going through each of these traits individually. And before the season started, we're like, gosh, should we do that? Should we do it across 9 episodes? And we decided it was totally worth it. And I can say for my own learning, it absolutely was. Diving deep into each one was great. One thing that I learned about the traits this season, in addition to completing the profile on everybody in my family, which was fun, thinking about the interaction of traits. And so, which kind of, I guess, goes with the patterns, but with thinking about temperament in an actual person instead of this trait, that trait, that trait. Mm-hmm. And so, I even think of, I am high intensity. My husband is low adaptability, and understanding like, okay, my daughter has both of those. And that maybe is why this behavior happens this way. And so just seeing how those play together instead of just all separate things has been interesting. What about you, Lori?
So having known about temperament for a while, it was really fun to bring it back to the forefront and really think about it with my kids because they're all different ages. And so now that they're older and bringing it back up to the forefront, one of the things I was really able to do was teach them about their temperament. Again, and, you know, I've taught them along the way, but really drilling down and even sharing it with their friends and sharing their friends' temperaments with them. And so that has been really, really fun for me to look at those specific traits as the children have grown and now really talk about it with them and, you know, why they're responding this way to a specific situation. And then I think then when we were talking to Dr. McDevitt about patterns of behavior and he was talking about how some of those difficult things actually are difficult demands. Like because of the temperament trait, it's a demanding trait. And because of temperament, that's why the child is responding this way. And it really helped me to think about, and actually I did a couple of one-to-one conversations with parents, helping them see that, you know, it just takes more to parent this child. And it's not that the child him or herself is difficult. Those demands that they have is more difficult. And I'll share another one later. But do you think that we're ready to look at some comments?
See if anybody has anything to say about what they've learned about the traits. We got anything good, Kens?
I was just double checking that I didn't miss any last second. As the one thing I forgot to include is that we do have a delay because of that captioning. There might be they see this 10 seconds later and they have that aha moment. But so I will start with a couple of notes, and then there is more or less a question for you to answer.
Okay.
So someone said that they loved the feisty one last week. The speaker was wonderful. Yes, we love Mary Sheedy.
She
is like the end all be all when it comes to theoretic kids. She's amazing. And they also liked the one that told us to never apologize for our child's temperament. Let them be.
I love them all.
All right. And then someone said their aha moments were related to children and sleep. Wish they had known that 23 years ago with their son. It all makes sense. Even 23 years later, it makes sense. I think about myself as a kid too, of like, that makes a whole lot of sense as I talk about temperament. All right. And then the question is, help me with some words or ways to approach temperament with others without sounding like I know more than you, such as friends, family, when temperament is impacting interactions. This is not my question, but I have asked this question. So what is some advice you guys would give?
So a funny story about this is that being a family life educator is hard to describe. Would you agree?
Say,
what is it you do? And my answer is, I just teach adults how cool kids are. And so when I look at it from that perspective, I often found myself coming up with a third party. So I might say something like, I was in this group of moms of older children the other day, and then I would share something that I totally knew about temperament myself. But it's like I almost needed this safe third party because I was with familiar people that, you know, they knew me, and I didn't want to come across as, you know, this guru on all things
know-it-all
temperament, right? And I'm not, but I totally can understand this question from that that aspect of, you know, I don't want them to suddenly clam up and stop talking to me about children's behavior. And so I would often find myself, and even with colleagues, I would say things like, oh, well, I heard this speaker one time, and it was always Mary, or not always, but it was, you know, always my temperament veteran gurus and researchers. And just that idea of, I just needed that safe third party to share the information. And then that was my safe space. And it's not to downplay my own skills or your own skills as a parent, because you absolutely are 100% more knowledgeable. There you go. Thank you. Your child than anyone else.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I will have to say that even as, you know, a person on this podcast, there have been a couple of occasions where I pull the, this isn't me saying it. This is something that, you know, Laura and Mackenzie said as they were talking through the podcast, and I just learned it, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you need a scapegoat, blame Lori. It's really,
isn't that funny how we do that? I mean, like, why can't we just in front of our family and friends say, hey, I know this because I just paid all this money to go to school and learn it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would say that. I'd be like, okay, well, I need to put on this hat right now. I know we're in our friend group, but I'm going to put on my work hat because my parents and I paid a lot of money for it. So this is what I learned.
Right. Okay. And I tend to do, I feel like this almost sounds arrogant, but like I tend to, like, let's assume we all know temperament. Right. And so someone says like, well, this is going on. I'm like, oh yeah. He has a really intense temperament, doesn't he? you know, and acknowledging they're, it's really what they're saying, right? Oftentimes what they're describing is that yes. temperament trait. And so I often feel like just providing the language of saying like, oh, you're right. He can be sensitive, or she can be very perceptive of those details, and saying yeah. it in a positive, right? I'm agreeing with what you're saying because yeah, as a parent, you're the one noticing the behavior. You're the expert. Yes. And so I do, I just kind of offer it up. And if they would like to know more, right. If they want to ask about what I mean or, but like, oh yeah, you know, I've heard you talk about how blank, right? Temperament uh-huh. trait, how blank. Yeah. Your child is.
That makes me think of that conversation with Rob Copeland, that when he said, don't, you know, if they're saying, oh, they're shy. Oh, they're just say, oh no, he's got, you know, it's just a little reserved. Got
a few minutes.
A little warm up, that giving other people, not necessarily saying, well, I know this about this, but just, you know, slipping in those words because you yes. are knowledgeable, but like to give them the words without, you know, making it.
Yeah. Not belittling.
Yeah, right. exactly. Mm-hmm. Like just slipping new words. It's like as you teach kids words, you start slipping those into vocabulary. We need that as adults too.
Yeah.
Right? I need new words in my vocabulary too. So
yes. Mm-hmm. That's a great question.
It kind of brings us to our second tidbit, but I can yes. hold off on that if there are more things in the chat.
I have one more comment that I will slip in here.
Okay.
Copy and paste here. The whole series has helped me develop better talking points about temperament when working with my program families. So that's exactly a great example of it. So, hey, if you want to share in the chat what kind of talking points you've used, that would be awesome. So,
love mm-hmm. to see that.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Carry on.
So the second tidbit falls right in line with both of those things. And that is that we actually have research that tells us, and this research is from Jim Cameron and his colleagues, Rice, Sparkman, and Neville. And they did this study over time on the guidance, the temperament guidance that they began to give families who were part of the Kaiser Permanente health plan. And the study was longitudinal. So it was longer over time. And what they found was that as they gave parents education and advice and information on temperament, the impacts on the parent-child relationship were positively increased. So they were positively impacting the parent-child relationship as they continued to give them education and information on temperament.
Yes.
Which is super cool to think about the fact that as you've listened to the podcast this season, whether it's been one or 10 or right this very minute, the fact that you're taking in information and education about temperament and thinking about your relationship with your child is going to have that chance to be positively impacted, which is, I love. Like, I 100% love that.
So I just saw your mild intensity come out because Lori loves that research so much. And like, I've heard her talk about it, and you express that very mildly and calmly in a beautiful way. But I need everybody to know, if I had said it, it would have been a little more over the top. but yeah, so I do. I think it's a beautiful, and I think like, what good news that is for us as parents and as educators that, okay, when I understand temperament, it impacts how I feel about my parenting. You know, and when we kicked off, we talked about one of our beliefs is that you're the expert on your kids. And I will say, learning more about my kids' temperament and my own this season, it's made me feel like more of an expert, right? I am an expert on my kids. I know what's going on with them. And, you know, being tuned in to anticipate those behaviors, like, even when maybe other people may have judged a decision my co-parent and I made together, like, no, we know what we're doing. We're the experts on our kids. We know their temperament. And so I can even just like my own as a parent, like me as a parent, I can say that this season and learning more about temperament has helped me feel that way. I'm an expert, right?
I'm
an expert
that.
On my kids.
Yes. Yes. You are. We are. We all are. And I think that learning this gives us that confidence to say, I do know my child. And yes, this particular demand because of their temperament is making, you know, things difficult and feel difficult and be difficult, but I know what they need. And yes, we need to trust the process, especially when we have those feisty and spirited children and those slow to warm up and fearful children, and even those flexible children, teaching them to speak up. And so as we think about the strategies that we've learned along the way, you know, what are some things that you all have learned along the way that you've put into place? We want you to put those into the chat and share with us, what are strategies that you've learned along the way?
Yeah. What are your favorite? I mean, we've covered, what is this, episode 15 of this season? We've covered a lot.
We have.
So what have been your takeaways? What are those nuggets that you've been practicing? I can tell you, I feel like my list is like a bajillion. Like, I have a bajillion things. That's a real number, by the way. That's official. It is. Bajillion, officially. What about you, Lori? What would you, I mean, you've spent more time in this. Do you feel like you've still gotten kind of new stuff and strategies?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially because each time we've talked about it, you've talked about them as a framework and as, what did you call them? What's your list? Your list, your framework? No,
Kenzie Lowe's framework. Your reality
strategies? Your reality. Yeah, strategies, yes. And so I think in the back of my mind, it was just always things that I just did, but having them be called a framework or a strategy really solidified that confidence in me and the fact that I'm still doing this with my children at 23 and 21 and 16, but now I can teach them that this is a real concrete task of development that they can do. Like, they can do this because it's a strategy, and this will help them understand their friends, the coworkers they work with, people, teachers, and maybe someday their own children. So I feel like it's given me even more confidence, and especially as we've learned about each other.
Yes. Our team and our profiles has been interesting. I would say my strategy that has really stuck with me, one, I've loved like getting the chance to talk with the experts, the expert guests that we've had, and hearing their insight and their years of research and all of that. Like, oh my gosh, I could just like listen to those on repeat all day. I swear I would take something new from that every time. But two that I've really been practicing in our home. One was, like you heard last week, Mary Sheedy Krasinka talk about the flexible thinking. And so that is like a term we now use as a family. Like, okay, let's be flexible thinkers. Let's think of three ways, you know, let's think of three things we could do after supper, or let's think of three ways we could try this. Let's brainstorm together. And so that like term flexible thinkers is absolutely something we're doing in our house. And then
I love it.
And then the baby steps that Rob Copeland talked about with like soda warm up, that just like, hey, this little tiny step forward is worth celebrating. Even if next time you take two steps back, I know that you can take that step forward and we'll keep working forward. So those are just things that I am clinging to and using all the time.
I love it. All right, Kenzie, what do you have for us? Bring it back in.
Yes, what are people doing?
Can I just say, you always say bring her back in, and I'm literally the one clicking the buttons.
So true.
It just cracks me up. You're like, bring her back in. I'm like, okay.
Bring you back in.
By the way, I'm still waiting maybe for a little. Yep, there it goes. There's a little bit more catch up. They're kind of thinking about it. They're slowly responding, but I'm going to have to. Oh, no, I think that one's okay. Just as a comment, someone said earlier, a friend helped me see a child as passionate instead of difficult, which is the word that I've been using. Love that. And I also wanted to bring in a comment that someone you may recognize said in the comments. Each of the temperament traits are really gifts we each have and share it with others. And I included, it was from Barb Dunfons and our lovely writer. And always, she always reminds us of that, because I know we can get down in that idea that like, oh, I am so, but she always reminds us it's a gift, right?
Yes. Even when the demands are difficult for us as parents, sometimes temperament's still a gift. She's so good.
So good. I did the temperament profile for myself, and I was reaffirmed why and how I interact with people. I actually look at my great granddaughter through that temperament lens.
That leads us to the next section. If you want to slide on in there,
well, we do have one other comment.
All right.
Hold that thought, and I'll say that someone said praising the little steps as kiddos learn to regulate their temperament, like Lori's daughter ordering her own drink, celebrating that as a big step or the countless others. So that was another.
Yes.
Now carry on.
Okay. So this has to do with a strategy. And one of the strategies that you've kind of heard Mackenzie reference regarding her children was that she had some homework. And that part of that homework was that we tapped into some temperament profiles. And Barb Dunn Swanson is going to put the link to a couple of different places that you can look at doing temperament profiles. And that's a strategy, learning about your child's specific temperament and reviewing the temperament profile allows you to think about how you're alike and how you're different. And that kind of brings up the goodness of fit, which is a strategy as well, right? So I'm going to give them the website one more time and then you talk about goodness of fit, deal?
Sounds good.
Okay, so the two websites that we typically talk about in terms of profiles, it is Preventive Ounce, and that website is www.preventiveoz.org, or we will also utilize the temperament.com website, which is basically www.temperament.com or temperament.org. Either one, they go the same place. And there's some opportunities to fill out some temperament profiles there. So tell us how doing profiles can impact your goodness of fit.
Yes, I have had the chance to understand my own temperament, my husband's as well as our kids, and the opportunity to create environments, right? So that's this idea of goodness of fit we talked through in each trait episode, that what we do as parents, right? How our temperament aligns and the environment that we create for our kids. Mm-hmm. So that is a really important strategy of why bother to understand temperament? Because it gives us the opportunity to create goodness of fit. So I can even say understanding, we've been spending more time at home recently. And so my daughter, who is less adaptable, irregular, you know, lots of different traits, we were just kind of having a hard time. And so just sitting down, reflecting like, okay, what's going on? What can we do about it? And I realized, you know, our routines and everything has been totally out of whack. And I was like, you know, understanding her temperament, I understand that maybe what she needs is some consistency, mm-hmm. right? That things have been totally like fluctuating and my high adaptability was like, oh, that's fine. Like it's all
which
good.
Is great for you, right? Yeah, I'm all about this.
But yeah, it was like giving kind of stressful for her. She wanted to know what was coming and she was actually craving some consistency. And so even just in like the last week, we've been really working on, okay, this is what you can expect next and some consistency from day to day. And that has made a huge difference in how her and I interact and, you know, just the way she feels and reacts throughout the day, especially with that intense temperament. I was very aware she was having a hard time because her intense temperament definitely told me. But so yeah, that goodness of fit, the opportunity to kind of change our environment, change our behaviors in ways that help our kids grow up to be successful adults with their temperament gifts.
Absolutely. Mm. That's excellent. It just kind of wraps everything up for temperament. Just the idea of, you said it, why bother? Because it helps us have a good fit with our child. And as we think about parenting and how we want our parenting to come together with our child, we think about that fit and the idea that we could have a more positive relationship, a more positive fit with our child. Oh, that, you know, thinking about that's the gifts that Barb brought in, and I just, yes. And now y'all know why I love, and yes, I love temperament. So summarize it up for us, maybe.
Yeah, I think it'd be great to kind of recap what we covered this season in really broad terms. And so as we go through these kind of themes or categories, I do want to remind you this is kind of last call for those lingering temperament questions that you have for us to answer live. But so thinking back to where we started, right? We defined what is temperament, what it's not, and looking again, spent lots of time digging through each of those 9 traits. What's that definition, right? What do they mean when they say intensity? What do they mean when they say persistence? And so looking at that and then, you know, looking at that continuum, right? That little, a middle, or a lot makes a big difference. we've covered a lot of things there. What else did we cover, Lori?
We covered lots of strategies. There's a word. We covered many, lots, many frameworks and strategies. We're also actually going to hang on to some of those strategies as we think about our next season, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So we've covered like the ages and stages and how it was, we look at temperament across different ages and then the tasks that our kids are working on that it's been relevant. And we're going to kind of be looking at that concept of how our kids grow in season 4, which will be launching in 2021. So just kind of keep that nugget with you. We'll be, whether you've got a teen or a toddler or, you know, anywhere in between or on either end, we're going to have some good information for you, some that's targeted to some of the ages of your kids. So we'll be kind of exploring how our kids grow and what we can do about it as parents. So do we get any last minute questions in there, Kenz? Last call.
I am trying to frantically copy and paste. I will say that we'll start with this one. One of my children screamed when we took a different route to his beloved grandpa's house. We understood the route had opened, but wasn't the right way. Took many trips before he didn't cry. That sounds like that makes me think of when Mary Sheedy was thinking about, I've had this thought a lot too, of that flexible thinking of this thinking and the adaptability of changing routes.
Yes. Yes. Different than usual. Yeah.
Yes. Just in general, I've really, really enjoyed temperament as well. I think we've heard this a lot, that temperament has been kind of a big hit among people of learning. And I know among us, it's been a big hit of learning so much.
Yes.
And I'm not seeing any other comments. So I do have one that I feel like kind of wraps things up for us here. And it's all in parts because it was long, but she said, I agree, Mackenzie. I really see my kids as different. My kids as different temperaments coming through with how they are handling changes related to the pandemic, as well as I'm handling it. Since they are different, I know I need to do different things for them right now. And that is, that's kind of the epitome of.
That's it.
That's it. Like, can we applaud? Okay. Now, and scene.
Close scene.
Yeah. Oh, our kids do. They need different things from us. And gosh, the insight that you're using and that you have into create goodness of fit for each of them looking different, like, what a gift, right? What a gift you're giving them to honor their temperament and see it as strengths. Like, oh, yes.
I love that. So thank you, everyone. Someone just said, thanks for helping me learn more about my kids and how they tick. Yes, absolutely. So thank you, everyone, for all the feedback that you've given us, for responding and interacting with us. Be sure to reach out, ask us questions, send those emails. So I will go away and let you
get her off. If we bring her back, do we get her off?
Bring her on, do we send her away? So she said, please do, yes, email us your questions, parenting@iastate.edu. But in the meantime, thanks for joining us today on the Science of Parenting podcast. Remember to subscribe to our weekly audio podcast on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. You can watch the show on video each week on Facebook. And you can come along with us, right, Mackenzie?
Yes, come along with us as we tackle the ups and downs, the ins and outs, and the research and reality all around the science of parenting.
The Science of Parenting is hosted by Lori Haynes and Mackenzie Johnson, produced by Mackenzie DeYoung, with research and writing by Barbara Dunn Swanson. Send in questions and comments to parenting@iastate.edu and connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. This institution is an equal opportunity provider. For the full non-discrimination statement or accommodation inquiries, go to www.extension.iastate.edu/diversity/ext.